All right, on Tuesday, June 18th, guess who's the number one starting pitcher in fantasy?
It's not Asashi Iwakuma.
It's not.
You don't know?
It's in the notes. That's like three things down.
Well, then why are you asking?
I just figured you had done your work and you knew.
Oh, well, it's Max Scherzer.
It is Max Scherzer.
Oh, how about that?
Right. Congratulations to Nando, who I think was the highest on him preseason. Is that right?
I believe so. I don't think anyone could have been higher.
You were definitely the highest on him.
Yeah, so you're the man, Nando. Welcome to the show here on Tuesday.
People on my head, Dan.
Our email address, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I do plan on reading a number of emails today, so that should be fun.
We got an Adam Azer mission statement a la Jerry Maguire yesterday. Let's keep these things to 45, fellas.
You know what? In the past, we've been able to do these podcasts in 45 minutes. Dave and Jamie recorded one yesterday for Fantasy Football. It was 54 minutes, and I was like, that's it. I have to say something.
But why? I think people would still listen. All right, let's not waste time.
Yeah.
That's right.
We have a time crunch here.
Okay? Let's get to it.
All right.
Saturday, fantasy, number one.
Watch Fantasy Baseball today. Our live show, noon Eastern, CBSSports.com. We're going to talk about some of the most traded players in our leagues and what you can get for them, including Yasiel Puig. Stat of the day, number one, the Royals are averaging 2.2 runs when James Shields starts. And because of it, he is only the number 19 fantasy pitcher in points, number 27 in Roto. So when you see run support, what do you make of run support?
Well, the Royals aren't an offensive juggernaut, but 2.2 runs per nine innings
pretty
is
bad.
Ridiculous. So you have to, you know, I mean, you say he's only number 19, number 27, and that's Roto first, right?
No, it's 19 in points, 27th in Roto. He's 2-6.
All right. So anyways, the point is that's still pretty good.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's not far off where I would have expected Shields to be with decent run support.
Yeah, but he's having such a great year that
this could be
a top 10 year for
him. That's
right?
What I'm saying. His run support's likely to improve, and yet, yeah, he's having a great season even without it.
Hey, stat of the day number two. Who's the number one starting pitcher in fantasy, Nando?
Chris Medlin.
All right, Max Scherzer is the first pitcher to begin a season 10-0 since Roger Clemens was 11-0 in 1997. That's according to Stats, which is a company. Max Scherzer, so 10-0 with all the decisions coming in starts.
So that means that someday Max Scherzer's going to throw a bat shard at Mike Piazza?
That's what it means. And check his beer cans for some evidence. No, I'm just kidding. But
the beer can didn't work. He got off.
I know. But Max Scherzer is only going to be number one until Adam Wainwright's next start. Anyway, how do you value Scherzer rest of season? What do you think?
I'm keeping him where I have him.
I think, Nando was right.
Nando was right, eh?
Nando was right.
Let's see where you have him, Nando.
I would say this, that, you know, he did have a little bit of a shoulder problem last year.
11th for Scott, 11th for Al, 6th for Nando DeFino.
So we all agree he's an ace.
He's an ace.
It's something we can all agree on.
Good for you, Max Scherzer. Here's the tweet of the day from KJ Hanna. NY living CA mind. What does that mean?
So he's living in New York.
But he's
living in New York, California mind. Okay, that's his Twitter handle. I get it.
It's just where you put the comma.
Yeah. Well, there's no comma. Who do you and these CBS fellas think will hold on to the closer role in Cleveland for the short term, Pestano or Perez?
I think Perez.
I'm going on Pestano. I think Perez is going to start throwing, you know, off a mound, go a couple rehab starts. His velocity is going to be down, and they're going to shut him down.
He could be back Friday.
I know. I'm just guessing on this. That's all. But I have both, so I'm not worried.
Yeah. Maybe
thanks
smart
to
thing
Al.
Is to hang on to both until that situation sorts itself out.
I mean, even if Perez is pitching, like, Gregerson, fine. Let him go when Street's back. But I think you hold on to Pestano a little bit longer with Perez because he's had shoulder problems twice this year. Twice in 3 months.
So, all right. So that's the reason for Pestano is just you're worried about the nature or the frequency of the injury.
Yeah. I mean, since March, he's gone on the DL. Well, not the DL in spring training,
but
on the shelf twice with a shoulder problem. It's just kind of iffy. If it was shoulder once and like rib the other time, I'd be fine. But
yeah, because I was just thinking, just in terms of performance, that a healthy Perez is not a guy who's going to lose his job. But
right,
yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Where does the shelf come from?
You put something on the shelf.
You're not using it.
Normal people who buy food and cook it for themselves.
Oh, it just means like putting it away.
It's like a can of mushroom soup and put it on the shelf for later.
Right, okay. I see. Wow. Well, that was a stupid question.
Hey, guess who I had a conversation with car to car today?
Who?
I pulled up next to this car that had Ricky's of Hollywood on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see the King? Of course, you never saw the King of Kong, right?
No.
It's a big deal for me. It was Billy Mitchell's parents. I mean, to put down the window, I'm like, you're from King of Kong. And they're like, yeah, I want to come to your restaurant.
We have no idea. Are you
you're Billy Mitchell's parents. Look him up. Billy Mitchell is the guy who holds the record for Donkey Kong and Pac-Man. And they made this movie called The King of Kong about a guy who challenged his title. And it was awesome.
That actually does sound like an awesome. That's a documentary, I assume.
Oh, yeah. It's probably one of the greatest movies I've seen in the last 5 years.
It sounds like a very cool movie, but a really bad story.
No, people who saw the movie will be like, you saw Billy Mitchell's parents? And they still own the wing place in Hollywood.
All right.
That's all. I'm sorry.
Well, let's go there.
Let's go there for lunch.
Not lunch. Maybe, you know, maybe like on a weekend. Fantasy fill in the blank. Are you ready for fantasy fill in the blank?
Well, we're on a schedule, tight schedule here.
Yeah, so sorry, I took us off track with Billy Mitchell's parents.
That's okay. The Tigers' closer will be blank by the All-Star break.
Jose Valverde.
Ooh. Bruce Rondon.
Oh.
What about Benoit, guys?
What about Drew Smiley?
The reason I had this little
got
fill in the blank.
Got a save last night, didn't he? Smiley?
He got a three-inning save. Yeah.
He got a save while they're stretching him out, it appears.
Right, so I think...
Best of both worlds.
Last night, getting a three-inning save, it seemed like... Not a good sign if you're banking on Smiley becoming the closer.
What if you're banking on him becoming the starter?
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
But, except he won't be starting Thursday. It's going to be Jose Alvarez, I believe Thursday.
Yes.
Because Anibal Sanchez on the DL with a strained right shoulder and expected to miss two starts. Now, all right, so you're going with Valverde, Nando, and Rondon, and I'm stashing Benoit.
How about
so
that?
Why don't you guys like Benoit?
Actually, I almost said Benoit, but I just think the Tigers, they want to shoot for the moon. I think eventually it's going to be somebody who's not in the organization. Now, do you throw out the name Brian Wilson?
We've heard Jonathan Papelbon on rumors.
Yeah. You know, we could speculate on Rafael Betancourt. You know, who knows? But I think by the All-Star break, it could be Rondon or Benoit. But I think soon after, it will be somebody other.
Maybe they brought Avisaíl García back up to showcase him in a trade.
I was going to say to convert him to closer.
That too. Could be one of the two.
All right. I am selling high on Shelby Miller. Blank. We're looking for like a...
True?
Time. No, a time frame.
Oh. Now.
Never.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now or never.
I mean,
what, now or never?
I know you have those 50 songs in your iPod.
What song is that?
It's now.
This magic moment?
Yeah. No. No, it's never, now or never.
Yeah.
Is that the same
thing? With your encyclopedia,
come on, Adam.
Encyclopedic knowledge of music, I'm shocked you don't know that song.
That sounded like this magic
moment. Yeah, they're very similar sounding songs.
Oh, never heard it.
It's like
put the podcast
My
on
Sweet
pause.
Lord and He's So Fine. They're the same.
Interesting.
It's like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and ABC.
And Mary Had a Little Lamb. Okay, I'm sorry. So why are
we staying on track?
45 minutes.
Yeah, 45 minutes. 45 minutes. So why are you not selling high on Shelby Miller?
The only concern there is an innings limit. I'm not concerned about performance. I'm not concerned about the leg cramp. Apparently, just didn't hydrate well enough.
Yeah,
that's obviously very fixable. And I want to get as much production as I can out of Shelby Miller while he's still in the rotation. So. Unless maybe I could pull off something when he's getting close to his limit, which is kind of a dumb strategy to try because people are going to be aware of that. I just want to write out the innings that he's got because he is superb.
Well, I sold him yesterday, essentially for Chapman in our podcast league.
You proud of that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was a six-player trade. But I know that if you want to sell Shelby Miller, you have to be realistic because we keep saying, yeah, around the All-Star break, something like that. But you, Nando, you said now. And
right.
I agree with you because – a lot of people are going to be onto it.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to buy it at the All-Star break or whatever. They're going to be like, look, I know he might struggle. Obviously, Al doesn't feel the same way. But there are a lot of young pitchers who, as they get later on in the year, they trail off a little bit. So I guess I'd agree with you, Nando.
How about that?
Giancarlo Stanton is a top blank outfielder rest of season. Two homers yesterday.
12.
12?
I thought higher.
Well, it says top five.
Yeah, no,
I think you did
five.
That by accident. Oh. I think the five's there by accident.
That's a typo.
10.
Okay. I don't trust blank.
You.
Yeah, I don't trust Nando either. So.
I think he was talking to you.
I know, but yeah. I don't trust Nando.
No, fine. I don't trust.
All right.
The triangle's complete.
I'll tell you who I don't trust because I've been hearing about it all week.
Rick Porcello. Rick Porcello.
Oh, no, look, I wrote it down too on mine.
But I will say I wrote... analysis yesterday with the headline, there might be something to Rick Porcello's streak or something like that.
I loved your one. The more I rant about
The more I rant, the more Jason Marquis wins.
Yeah.
That was the title.
So I'm surprised you didn't do something more like Porcello, more like Porbio or something like that.
Oh, I blew it.
B-U-I.
Next one, maybe.
So close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not you need Adam over your shoulder editing.
Not trusting
you.
Rick Porcello. More people need to trust blank.
I think AJ Griffin. How about that?
Well, I'm going to go because some of the comments I got on the most recent pitching column I did were saying, why no Porcello and why is Sean Markham in your top 70? Sean Markham is so underowned. I know he's winless. He's got a terrible ERA, but I think that's all going to reverse. I think he's been probably the biggest underperformer among pitchers so far.
Al, you didn't get off the Dylan G train when he was terrible earlier this year, and you've been rewarded. Dylan G is pitching great. Maybe Sean Markham is the next Dylan G.
I hope so. I think so. They're Mets.
All right. The big news, David Price says he's not ready for a rehab assignment yet. Doesn't mean there's a setback. Just maybe push it back a little bit. Everett Cabrera with a hamstring. Carlos Quentin with a shoulder. They both may need DL stints. San Diego still not sure. Chris Perez could be back Friday. J.J. Putz feeling great after a bullpen session, and he's going to go on a rehab assignment now. Ryan Madsen could begin throwing from a mound by the weekend, making small progress there. Nick Swisher has a bad shoulder, no structural damage. He did receive a cortisone injection, and he's going to miss the next two games. He also missed yesterday. Could be back Friday. With Anibal Sanchez on the DL, you know, they say it's a two-start thing. Are you thinking, let's pick someone up here just in case it's worst-case scenario, or certainly not just two starts?
What do you say, pick someone up?
Smiley or Jose Alvarez.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, because obviously you're picking somebody up to replace him if you have him. But in terms of replacements, Alvarez, yeah, I don't think Smiley's going to be ready. If, let's say, it is just a two-week thing for Sanchez, I don't know that Smiley be ready by the end of that. So I would bet on Alvarez getting two starts. And for me, in an AL-only league, if it's one of those leagues where I've just got a hole that I've been able to fill because there's been a lack of waiver fodder, then, yeah, I like Alvarez.
Mark Teixeira likely to end up on the DL with a wrist injury. Would you drop him for Adam Dunn, Brandon Belt, those guys?
More Belt than Dunn, probably. Maybe Kendrys Morales, if I had a roster crunch kind of thing going on. You know, my DL spot's filled with, like, Reyes and Jeter, so.
Right.
I'd consider it.
Stop hoarding shortstops.
Make me.
I would stash Teixeira for until I heard something more definitive that this could really hamper the rest of a season.
Pablo Sandoval and Angel Pagan, they are expected to be activated next week, next Monday. Randall Delgado is going to start tonight for Arizona against Miami. Zach Britton expected to start tonight for Baltimore in place of Jason Hamill. And Miguel Gonzalez, speaking of Baltimore, he may not go on paternity leave despite his wife, you know, about to have a baby, but they may not have to put him on paternity leave. And Wei-Yin Chen could be back in July. Any interest in Delgado or Britton?
Not really. I like Britton a little better, but he disappoints pretty much every time he gets called up.
Yeah.
So, nah, I'm not making a move there.
All right. Reminder again to watch Fantasy Baseball Today. You can watch it on demand. I think we got to do more secret word stuff.
It was fun, right?
Yeah, that goes pretty well. Last week it was kitchen table. What was the first? Swishalicious?
Swishalicious.
Yeah, we're never using that one again. We're retiring that secret word. I can't say it. If I wrote it out, I wouldn't be able to say it. but yeah, that's live Noon Eastern. You can watch all the stuff on demand as well. Fringy starting pitchers. We got a bunch of them. I'm going to separate them at the 50% ownership line here. No, the 40%, 48% ownership line. That will
another arbitrary Adam line.
Well, that will include Dylan G. All right, here we go. Dan Haran, 0-5 with a 6.22 ERA in his last seven starts. Dylan G, if you missed it, he threw 100 pitches last night, and through 100 pitches, he had 8 2/3 shutout innings on four hits. And then he threw his 101st pitch and gave up a two-run walk-off homer to Jason Hayward. So he ended up with 8 1/3. I guess it was 8 1/3, not 8 2/3, excuse me. 8 1/3, five hits, two runs, one walk, six strikeouts. And G has given up five earned runs in his last four starts, and he's gone 6 2/3 or deeper in all four. So we got Haran, Dylan G, Jorge De La Rosa, who keeps having these good starts. Seven scoreless, one hit, three walks, four strikeouts at Toronto. Dan Straley was really bad yesterday. He had a 2.21 ERA in his previous five starts. We knew Jason Vargas had a tasty week, and he got it off to a good start with seven innings, two runs, one walk, nine strikeouts against Seattle. And he's got a 3.65 ERA this season. And Jose Quintana was bad yesterday. He hardly ever gets a decision. 25 walks, 60 strikeouts, and 81 and two-thirds. Bud Norris. Remember, I picked him as like a sleeper, kind of. We did on our video show, we did two start pitchers in deeper leagues to consider, whatever.
Because he's an Astro.
But the truth is, he had five scoreless innings, and then he gave up four in the sixth, and almost maybe look good.
Well, and you know what? I picked him up for our podcast listeners league this week after my Ubaldo pickup backfired and he lost his second start.
Right.
And so, yep.
So do you know how many points it got you? I mean, unfortunately, it took a loss here. It's probably like 3 points, I would
something
guess.
Something like that. I'll look it up.
Okay. All right. Anyway, we got Herron, G, De La Rosa, Straley, Vargas, Quintana, Norris. All right. You guess, 18, Nando.
Hold on. 10. So negative 2. If I knew how much these things were worth, it might be
minus
easier.
-5 for a loss.
+8 is a -7. I would say he got you 1 point.
Nice. Going against the clock here. Okay, well.
How about that?
He standard scoring.
Got
3 points for an inning, -1 for a hit, -2 for earned runs.
Al, where are you? Al trailing 53.
You said three?
I said three.
You got three.
Wow, you are in tune with nature, Adam Azer.
You didn't even start him? Or did you?
I
am
did.
I looking at the wrong team?
No, you just can't tell because he barely scored.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
No, I didn't pick him up to bench him. I picked
him up for two starts. Dan Straley and Bud Norris last night.
Oh, no.
Good stuff.
Snake bitten.
Okay.
Podcast league?
Oh, of course.
Give me your top three from that list.
All right. Well, I know G's on there. Straley's on there. Yeah, I'm thinking Vargas, too.
In that order?
Straley, G Vargas. G Vargas.
I like Straley, G, Quintana.
Anybody really worried about Straley after this start, or just chalk it up to one bad one?
Disappointed, not worried.
I'm with Al.
What's up with Quintana? Why do you like him so much?
I don't know. You know, it's usually one inning that kills him. This is the first inning. He gave up two runs, and then he kind of coasted the rest of the way. Kind of coasted the rest of the way.
He didn't get the five innings.
But he hit 100 pitches pretty early.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest beef with Quintana is it seems like he's not been very efficient.
He has not.
Yeah. But I like these matchups, so.
I just think he just needs to, it's like he's got to tweak just one little thing, and then he'll be fine.
All right.
So I'm willing to stick with him.
The next group of fringy starting pitchers, Barry Zito, who has a 2.06 ERA at home and 11.28 on the road. But two of his last four home starts have been six innings and four earned. Edinson Volquez was okay last night at San Francisco. Not really that good. Jacob Turner was okay last night at Arizona.
He was my two-star guy.
Yeah, yeah. Not bad.
I mean, five innings, two runs. That's good stuff.
Better than mine.
He should not have five strikeouts.
He's got 11 strikeouts and 12 innings over his last two starts, Turner, but 11 hits, too. And Nick Tepish has been just horrible in his last three starts. At Toronto, home against Cleveland, home against Oakland. Tough matchups, but he's been terrible. Zito, Volquez, Turner, Tepish, rank them.
Turner, Volquez, Zito, Tepish.
Turner, Tepish, pass.
Do you like Turner better than G or Straley or Quintana or Vargas?
Maybe Quintana. Pretty equal Quintana, not as much as the others.
I was going to say the same thing. But I have Vargas under Quintana, so I guess it'd be over both of them.
All right, the Angels erupted yesterday for 11 runs on 21 hits. What stood out? Josh Hamilton had two hits, including his 10th home run, second home run in June, but second in six games. Albert Pujols went 4-for-5 with a double, and apparently he hit a 390-foot line drive single off the wall because he cannot move. But as a DH, Pujols is batting .313, .387 on base, .481 slugging. And Mark Trumbo playing first base is batting .299 with a .528 slugging. Howie Kendrick doubled. He's hitting .335. He's got a lot of doubles. Two hits for Ibar, four hits for Alberto Callaspo, and Peter Borges went 3-for-4 with a stolen base. What do you got on the Angels?
Well, if you're asking, you did ask what's stuck out, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I did. Okay.
Kind of twice.
All right.
Go ahead.
See, I remembered. Peter Borges.
Okay.
Yeah, three hits, a stolen base, and I think maybe a little bit under the radar with all the time that he missed.
How about you?
I'd hopefully consider this the Pujols-Hamilton semi-quasi-breakout fest.
I feel like Pujols has been pretty good lately.
Turnaround fest. Yeah, he's been good in June. I think he's .333 in June, something along those lines.
Why don't we look up Albert Pujols?
But I've been more worried about Hamilton, the Pujols. I mean, it's certainly it's encouraging what Pujols is doing. But and I did drop him from first to third to fifth among first basemen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I need, in fact, I need to circle Hamilton on the notes here. That's my little strategy for reminding myself to change rankings.
Oh, so I'm very worried. I do the side where I'm at the bottom of my sheet when something comes up.
Very worried about Hamilton.
See, this is frustrating with Pujols. Last 21 days, he's hitting 300. And he's got a 362 on base and a 500 slugging percentage. And yet he's the number 12 fantasy first baseman.
Give him some time.
Now, it's kind of, it's always weird to do that because if he had four more points, he'd be number 9. If he had 7 more points, he'd be number 5.
I mean, you're talking about a points league where he's probably not going to hit too many doubles. Your example was last night.
That's a good point. All right,
maybe you should check him out.
Yeah. So, but in spite of that, he's within striking distance of fifth.
Yeah,
which is where I think he should be. So,
plus there are guys like Daniel Nava and Mike Karp.
You look at Pujols and you have a reason for him
blanks
not doing well. You look at Hamilton, you really don't.
Yeah.
Like, would he stop chewing tobacco? That's why he's bad.
I don't know why
signed a big contract. Too much pressure. It's very strange.
Yeah.
Now I did say Daniel Nava because he was on that list. Excuse me. All right. Last 21 days for Pujols in rotisserie with that 500 slugging. He's even worse. He's like 17th.
Well, there goes that theory.
What the heck? I can't really figure that out. Maybe just everybody else has been really good.
Maybe we should all just start him and not worry about it.
I guess. All right, in the bullpen, Jonathan Papelbon ended up getting the win after he blew his first save, and Tony Cingrani pitched 2/3 of an inning out of the bullpen. We're really flying along here, guys. We're doing great.
Don't jinx.
Thanks.
How are you? How's everybody doing today?
Oh, super.
Feeling good?
Yeah.
How was your weekend?
Weekend was good.
You know, we went to the Marlins game Saturday.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, sure did.
On a total whim.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you both went?
Yeah, we both went.
I knew you went. I did not realize it was a...
Oh, I got the picture for you. I got a picture of Adam's head with John Jay in the batter's box in the distant background.
Yep. Perfect.
I got to send that to you.
I had my UM hat and everything.
Yeah, that was weird. A lot of people thought that was weird. And then he spilled soda on a kid.
That's not true. Well, it's not untrue, but it's not true. All right, 4 up, 2 down. Nando, this one's for you. Number 1 is Omar Infante.
This is for the people.
Number 13 second baseman in points, number 12 in roto. He went 4-for-4 with a stolen base, his third steal yesterday. I'm going to say, and I even put in the notes, go ahead, Nando. But I'm going to say that Omar Infante is the number 12 second baseman in fantasy because second base is so bad, not because Omar Infante is so good.
Maybe because he's a Tiger and he's going to score a lot of runs?
That was part of it. He's
but
consistent
he hits at the bottom
with his batting
of the
average. He can hit for some power. He can steal some bases.
You say he can, but he really doesn't.
Look, I just think, what's Neil Walker going to give you that Omar Infante isn't? How about that?
So you'd rather have Infante than Walker?
Yeah. Was he one of the names you had there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Infante or Kelly Johnson?
I'd rather have Infante.
Johnson.
Infante or Prado?
Actually, you know what? I may tweak that because now I'm worried about Johnson with playing time.
Yeah, it's if Longoria can get back in the field for sure. Infante or Prado?
It's almost a wash for me. Maybe Prado because his multi-positionality.
Yeah, no, not for me. I like Prado better.
I mean, come on, Nando.
What?
Prado at least has the upside of what he's been the past few years, which is a lot better than Infante.
I don't know about a lot better than Infante.
All right, fine.
but I'll give you slightly better than Infante. I just think Infante is a little underrated. I'm not saying he should be the number 5 second baseman.
Okay.
I'm just saying he's solid as a middle infield plug.
Okay. And how about Infante or Ugla or Weeks?
Probably go with Ugla and Weeks.
Oh, I definitely would, yeah.
Jason Castro. Did you know that he is the number 6 catcher in points and number 8 in fantasy?
Now I do.
This guy is really good, and he gets a lot of at-bats, too, because they'll DH Castro. What do you think about him? You buying it? He does have 20 doubles. I don't know if that's sustainable. It's a lot of doubles.
Yeah, probably not, but he is legitimately good. I think he's really improved his power skills over the last couple of years. We saw it a little bit last year. So, yeah, very underrated. I think have to think of him as a solid number 1 catcher now. Maybe not, you say, 6th?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, when I say solid, I mean, I guess maybe I'm overstating a little bit. I think he can be used as a number 1 catcher, but I still think of him as more in the 10 to 12 range.
Well, you got him 11th, so I guess is that in the 10 to 12 range?
It's right in the middle.
and Nando.
I might have a little lower.
Total buzzkill.
What?
A little lower.
19th?
21st in roto and I think 23rd in points.
That doesn't seem right. There we go, Al.
Got to move him up.
Jason Castro up.
All right, so let's play the game.
Oh.
Who are you going to move him up over? Ready? Let's start with number 13.
I can't write with these markers. Do you ever get that? Like, it just doesn't feel like it's writing right.
Yeah, markers on a piece of paper.
Like a dull marker on a piece of paper?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's like Adam Azer there for a minute.
Man, it's terrible. It's like I can't eat peaches.
That's totally not the same thing.
It is kind of the same thing, right?
Oh my god, yeah. Yeah. I've never met anybody else who's.
I can eat peaches if I cut them.
They're slimy.
They have that like fur, you know.
There's that too. They're kind of slimy though.
Okay. Anyway,
slimy in the Addams Family song. They're slimy.
I think so.
Yeah, was it
the cooking, that one?
Yeah, but with it, like the second verse, they're slimy
now,
or something.
Now or never. That
you
one?
Got it. Yeah.
All right, would you move Castro up ahead of Ryan Domet?
No.
Russell Martin?
No.
J.Pierre Insibia?
Maybe this is why he's 19th for me.
No, we have room to go. And no. He's 21st/23rd for you.
No to Aaron Sibia.
Pierzynski?
No, not in points leagues.
Ready for a ding, ding, ding?
Yeah.
Evan Gattis?
No, I think I keep Evan Gattis above him.
All right. Tyler Flowers?
Still believe in Tyler Flowers.
Oh, come on!
What?
Why not? Over Flowers? What has he done?
I think Flowers and Castro have the same kind of upside. Flowers
but one
has
guy's
more power.
Doing it, so put the guy in front of him.
It's June 17th?
18th.
Stick by your convention.
Yeah, I'm going to say it. Thank you, Al. I will.
Tyler Flowers also gets a bonus for having a name that's also a sentence.
Wellington Castillo. Mike Zunino. The recently DL'd Alex Avila.
Oh, wait. I have him below Zunino?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. I gotta fix that. I'll put him above Zunino. I'll put him above... Avila.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Avila's on the DL.
All right, so I was right when I said 19th. In my mind, it was 19th.
No, because this would make it 21st.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, what about Wellington Castillo?
Yeah, I had the same argument for both of them being on the same level before the season.
All right, so maybe you'd have him 21st in points and 19th in roto.
Maybe.
Ben Revere. Nando, another one that's for you because I cut you off when you called him a buy-low candidate on Friday.
That's all right.
And he's on an 8-game hitting streak, batting .432 in that stretch, .339 in June with 7 steals. Look, he's not going to get you power, we know that. Last 21 days, which is, you know, June and a couple more days. again, hitting .339 with 7 steals in June. He's the number 27 outfielder in points, number 18 in roto. So why did you think he was a sell high?
He just had to come around. That's about it.
Okay.
And you meant buy low, you meant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Buy low. Revere Gardner.
You still got Gardner there, I think.
Yeah, steals plus a little more power potential.
Revere or Daaza?
Say if you're looking for steals in roto, you go with Revere, but I could see the argument for Daaza in points leagues.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Revere or Borges?
I go Revere.
I go Revere, too.
Blanks.
You go Blanks.
Me, too.
Nelson Cruz homered twice yesterday. Did you know that Nelson Cruz is the number 19 outfielder in fantasy in points, number 12 in roto? 12 doubles, 22 walks. Not great numbers there, so that might be why he's better in roto. Is he underrated?
I think he probably – well, I mean, I'm looking – you have his ownership numbers right here, and he's universally owned
okay,
and started.
99% owned, 94% started, but nobody ever talks about Nelson Cruz, and nobody gets excited about Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, because we're all waiting for the quad and the hamstring injuries.
I guess. Perfectly said.
Didn't happen last year, though.
No, it didn't. And then his production wasn't as good. So this year, he's putting it all together so far.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I think he is underrated. I think we probably should talk about him more.
Cruz or Carlos Gomez?
Probably Carlos Gomez.
Yeah, Gomez.
Cruz or Gerardo Parra?
Cruz.
Michael Kadire?
Kind of like Kadire. He's injured right now a little bit.
He's okay.
Yeah, I'll go Cruz there, but Kadire's having a great year.
He's off the shelf, though. That's the good news. All righty, two down. Are you worried about Kendrys Morales? 3 for his last 34. Things in perspective, I'm sorry.
Please do.
Paul Goldschmidt was 3 for 33 before he had 2 hits, including a homer last night. So it happens. But Kendrys Morales, 85% owned. He's been really bad in June. 2-11, no homers, 3 RBIs. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not that worried. I was surprised, actually, that Morales had done as well as he has. So I feel slightly vindicated here by this one.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think he's probably just regressing a bit.
Agreed?
I agree. But I still like Morales better than a handful of other guys.
Like Hosmer, Lind, and Swisher?
Yeah, although Hosmer, I'm starting to really, really warm up to Hosmer lately with this George Brett thing. It
Hosmer
seems like he's a
was
different
almost
guy.
In 5 up today, but I thought it was too many, so I went with 4 up.
Oh, you should have done it.
Here's the thing. All right, so a home run and two doubles in his last five games. So I feel like one more extra base hit and he makes the show.
He's there.
All right.
All right, so Morales or Hosmer? Morales?
Morales for me.
It depends on the makeup of my I'd really say Morales 9 out of 10 times, but if I'm like 79 in steals and the guy ahead of me is 82, I might pick up Hosmer just for that bump up in Roto.
Lindor, Morales?
Morales.
Probably Morales.
All right, Marcell Ozuna is two down, number two. He's owned at 36% of leagues, batting 214 in June.
Yeah, no power there lately.
No power there ever.
Well, at the beginning, when he first got called up, there was a little bit.
Well, okay, he has one home run, but he does have 13 doubles.
And he's got Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup with him, which is weird. You think this would be backwards. Like, with Stanton in the lineup, he'd probably be hitting better.
Yeah.
Seeing better pitches.
If they would just put him in front of
instead of behind
Stanton, you know.
I just think Ozuna, really, in a normal lineup, should be hitting, like, 7th or 8th. But this is the Marlins.
Hey, they're one of the hottest teams in baseball right now.
Yeah, true.
Respect. Are you excited? Like, pumped to watch them?
No, it's just going to encourage them. It's just going to encourage the ownership to keep on selling off players.
Al, what if you bought a $5 ticket off the street before a game,
mm-hmm.
went in and didn't buy any concessions? Wouldn't that, you know, you're cheering for a team that's kind of fun and exciting. Echevarria is one of the greatest shortstops in the game of baseball, defensively. Right?
I'm glad you added the D word.
Oh, yeah, of course. He was making these just beautiful throws.
Yeah,
all
he
game
is,
on
he is a pleasure to watch.
I was going to say, he's fun. He is fun to watch. A little frustrating to watch at the plate most of the time. But
score sheet better respect his defensive capability.
Their pitchers are extremely boring, other than Jose Fernandez.
Yeah, but look,
extremely boring.
You got a couple guys. You got Eovaldi coming back who throws 95. And you have Henderson Alvarez coming back. Who's
I don't know if they're so boring. I mean, I like watching Turner. And I mean, it's a little weird, but I like Slowey. I like the
really?
Control guys, yeah.
All right.
And,
well, Turner, I mean, I can understand.
Nolasco's been pretty good.
But Nolasco's been good, but he's boring.
No, okay, I can't argue that.
I hate to take this side, and it's probably not going to be very popular, but they were a crappy team with all the players they bought. And they do kind of make sense sometimes, if this team turns out to be kind of exciting, that they sold all the crappy players and got back some young, exciting. I think it all hangs in Henderson Alvarez. It's all on him.
I just think, you know, you look at the Cardinals, you can have veterans and great young players together.
I agree with you, Nando. If I trusted the ownership to spend money now that they got it back.
That's true.
You know, that's the thing. And obviously people say, I don't necessarily agree with this, but people say that they're going to have a hard time convincing free agents to come. I think free agents follow the dollar. But like everybody thought the Cavaliers would have trouble getting free agents to come after Dan Gilbert went on that rant about LeBron James, but I don't think anybody cares about that anymore. But no, it's just a general distrust. All right, the six-man rotation here. Tell me who's legit. Patrick Corbin, Travis Wood, who's lost three straight starts, but he's still been good. Francisco Liriano gave up his first two home runs of the season yesterday. He's got a 2.44 ERA, and over the last 28 days, he's a top 17 pitcher. Mike Leake, dude. Number four pitcher in the last 28 days. Tim Hudson has had, I think, two good ones in a row. He's been pitching better lately. He was good last night. And Josh Johnson, even at 88%, might be extremely underowned because two of his last three starts have been really good.
There's a good one.
Yeah, they've been very Josh Johnson-like, and he should be universally owned.
So when you look at this list, all these guys are owned in 87% of leagues or more. Corbin, Wood, Liriano, Leake, Hudson, Johnson. Who do you think you can rely on for the rest of the year?
I actually feel pretty good about all these guys with the possible exception of Leake.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't really want to put anybody in the same category as Jason Marquis because he just frustrates me so much. But Leake's sort of in that type of category that I don't really understand how he is so much better this year than the past year when he's always been a good control pitcher, so it's not like he's improved there. He's always been pretty decent ground ball pitcher, but giving up a lot of home runs anyway, but not this year for some reason. And the strikeouts still are not really there. So, you know, he's just a tough guy to figure out.
The Reds announcers last night were talking about how he has basically become Bronson Arroyo's understudy, and he has learned a lot from Arroyo, and he's essentially become Arroyo light, except a much better ERA. His first two starts were bad, Mike Leake, but 7-3 with a 2.00 ERA since his first two starts.
You could have just said two, I think.
I don't like the way that sounds.
All right.
A 2.0 ERA, maybe?
No, I think
just two.
Say the way you said it.
I got a question for you, so I got to do this update later for the CBS Sports Network.
I'm mad. I'm on
TV. The Bruins won 2-0 yesterday. Like, how would you say that? 2-0? 2-0?
2-0.
2-0?
Yeah, I think it's pretty casual and colloquial on those updates.
I feel like hockey's a little different. Like, I would say 2-0 in baseball. I don't know if hockey's different.
I don't think so.
Right, I'm going with 2-0.
You're probably asking the wrong crowd here. Go ask DeWitt. Go over and ask DeWitt.
He gets in at like 11.
No, I think it's definitely nothing.
Nando, same question for you.
2-0. I think you should say zilch.
2-0. Same question for you. Who do you trust the rest of the season? Who do you think you can rely on?
Josh Johnson, number one. Liriano, number two. And I think I'd put Hudson at number three just because he is what he is. He's a boring 3.60 pitcher without any strikeouts.
All ahead of Corbin.
Corbin might be next. Actually, Leak would be next, then Corbin, then Wood.
Okay.
I like Corbin. I'm predisposed to like him. We grew up in the same city.
So you like these guys in general?
I don't like Travis Wood.
Right. All right.
So you think Corbin was hanging out Hydes?
Yeah. Al knows Hydes.
Deep leagues.
But he was younger. The Hoffman Hothouse kind of pulled away a little bit from Hydes.
Okay.
But I believe he grew up closer to Hydes than I did, so maybe he just did it for convenience.
No way.
How are we doing for time?
We were doing well. Deep leagues, Brandon
it's
Barnes.
It's awesome that Al knows Hydes.
Al knows everywhere. Al has been everywhere. Brandon Barnes, any interest in him in AL only? Everyday outfielder for Houston. He had 3 hits and stole 2 bases yesterday.
Sure. He'll give you steals. At least you got that coming. So,
okay. John Lannon, Carlos Carrasco. Any interest in either of those guys?
No. I have Lannon in NL only, and I start him this week because of the 2 starts. That's about as far as I'll go with that.
Carrasco can be a little dangerous.
Yeah, I should just pass over everyone. Carrasco because I really liked him going into the season. I've really liked him for a few years. And he's had a rough time this year, but maybe just shaking some rust off and maybe the potential is still there.
That could be it. I mean, you say Tommy John, it's a year to get back and then like 6 months to get back to yourself. That's kind of where he's at right now.
Injuries, news, notes. Alex Avila on the DL with the bruised left forearm. Jerks and Profar led off as a DH last night, and he doubled in 4 at-bats. Berkman sat. Mitch Moreland, though, began a rehab assignment last night. Going to get crowded there. Ian Kennedy is serving his suspension. He may only miss 1 start, though.
Well, you got the Profar note about them making him a left fielder.
No.
Yeah. Ron Washington said they want to make Profar a competent left fielder.
I feel like he'd have to go down to do that.
No. Said it's going to take 7 to 10 days.
Wow.
I'm assuming what they're doing is maybe DHing him, maybe popping him in some other places, but working on his left field skills the rest of the time.
So that's Murphy?
I don't know if he'll replace Murphy, but I think they just want to find another option for him to. Washington wasn't clear about that.
Kind of do the Evan. Go on the Gattis route.
There you go.
And have him play all over the place.
Get the old covered wagon and the horses.
See, that's the reason I don't buy Gattis. I don't get it. You know, he's just not going to get enough at bats. And he's not going to hit pinch hit home runs. You know?
Oh, he will all year long.
No, but he won't, Al.
Yeah, but you're discounting. Like, if you drop him now, what happens next week if B.J. Upton tweaks his ankle?
I know, but what are you going to do? You going to waste a roster spot on a catcher?
Or they just plug Will Myers in, since I apparently still think B.J. Upton plays for the Rays.
That's right.
On our chat yesterday, I put up a question. Which Rays outfielder deserves to start more, B.J. Upton or Will Myers?
How did we not
Sorry,
leave chat, the show with that?
Chat,
leave the show with that.
Chat visitors, funny. That was horrible.
All right, Denard Span fouled the ball off his foot Sunday, missed yesterday, but they're hoping to have him back today. Logan Morrison was in the MIA lineup, the Miami lineup. Why didn't we ever make a joke about how their lineup is MIA?
I don't know, because it's
easy.
Cruel.
Too easy. There's an announcement coming today regarding Roy Oswalt. Who's excited?
I was thinking about this because I saw this bit of news this morning, and, you know, I'm not excited. And to me, it's sort of like Brett Favre. Like,
oh, come on.
Well, no, because it's just you sort of get fatigued by the, I'm going to pitch half a season. Maybe I'm going to pitch and I'm going to pitch. I'm going to hold out. And he could be really good. I mean, as recently as 2 years ago, he was serviceable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've just sort of fatigued on the whole storyline.
Okay.
So, basically, I should be more excited than I am.
There's an announcement about Roy Oswalt, and here's one about Lucas Duda. He played first base yesterday, his first appearance there this season, and he had 4 hits. Wandy Rodriguez, eligible to come off the DL Friday, and he threw yesterday. Chris Heisey began a rehab assignment yesterday. Anyone care?
I wish we had that ready for Chuck. in Bridgeport when he called the show yesterday.
He's an NL-only guy. Okay, that's
Did you want an answer for that? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. NL-only? If he asked the question, we probably should answer it.
Ish. Excited-ish.
Yeah, not very.
Here's an email from a disgruntled Mets fan. Our email address is fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And he says, why are the Yankees considered such a high-end offense? I understand the advantageous hitter's park, but check out these stats. As a team, 19th in runs, 24th in hits, 13th in homers, 23rd in RBIs, 23rd in average, 23rd in OBP, 21st in slugging. I haven't checked those, but they sound right to me.
Yeah, and
I think they're 10th in runs in the American League, so...
Which is not good.
I'm not enough time to check them,
no,
Mondo.
It's just funny that you admit.
Why are the Yankees considered a high-end offense? I've been saying it. They aren't a high-end offense.
They're not, and maybe I'm a little bit guilty of this because, you know, when I write the pitching column and I'll say, you know, and so-and-so is facing these teams, so they should be careful. And it's the home runs, which, again, they're barely in the top half. But if it's somebody maybe who's been, you know, facing a bunch of teams in the bottom 10 and they're facing the Yankees and a top 10 power team, then you say, yeah, you know, maybe they could do a little bit of damage. But you're right, they're not an elite offense.
I would be interested to see.
Mets fan is correct.
Yeah, I would be interested to see their home road splits, because a start at the Yankees is still a little scary.
Yeah,
because they can hit home runs. But gosh, like on that West Coast trip in Seattle, Oakland, and Los Angeles of Anaheim, they were pathetic. All right.
I like now how Los Angeles of Anaheim is location.
I know. Gillen Robbins in Wiener, Arkansas. Snap, crackle, and pop.
That's Alaska, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, God, I did it again. I did it again. I don't consider it Alaska State, I guess.
We got to get you a Sporkle quiz every day on state
abbreviations.
That's
pathetic. AK is clearly Alaska. Rest of season, Gattis or Zunino?
I'd tell someone to go with Zunino, but I'd probably go with Gattis. I wouldn't drop Gattis for Zunino.
I would be consistent and go with Gattis and tell other people to do that too.
I don't want to hurt their teams because I'm a gambler.
Drop Duda or Brantley?
Oh, Brantley.
Yeah, Brantley.
Buy or sell, Katie Rotola will send Adam a birthday card.
Big day tomorrow.
Yeah.
I would guess an e-card if we remind her
an
that it's e-card, your birthday.
I would say a tweet. Andre Rosimov in Paris. He says, Tina, Linda, and... No, that's bad. Tina, Linda, Louise. Nah, I don't have it today. It's Bob's Burgers. I can't do my Bob.
This is what you watch?
Oh, dude, it's so funny.
Instead of going to see This Is the End?
I don't watch it anymore. I just haven't had time. But whenever I do watch it, Bob's Burgers is criminally underrated. 15-team head-to-head points
league. It's like Sean Markham.
Yes. It's popular in France.
Yeah, apparently. 15-team head-to-head points league. Need to drop two pitchers so I can activate Will Myers and Chase Utley. Lincecum, Griffin, Ogando, Jimenez.
I drop Jimenez and Ogando.
And I am dropping Jimenez and Lincecum.
Dear Zach, Kelly, and Slater. Al, do you get that reference?
Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, it's Sam Guthrie in Winchester, Virginia. Buy or sell, Eric Stoltz is a top 50 starting pitcher rest of season.
Solid.
Reggie and Charlotte, 12-team head-to-head points league. The Matt Cain owner has asked me for a bat for Cain. Here are my expendables. Michael Kadire, Kelly Johnson, Kyle Blanks, Evan Gattis, Nate McClouth.
I think you get it done with Gattis and McClouth. I think you get it considered with Gattis and McClouth, depending on the temperament of the Matt Cain owner. You can say, here are a crap load of steals, and here's a catcher who could hit a bunch of home runs for you.
If I am Matt Cain's owner, I am not accepting anything for unless Kadire is included. And I don't disagree with you, Nando, that you could get consideration there, but
right. You
wouldn't make that deal. You wouldn't give up Cain for Gattis and McClouth.
No, that's where I'd start, though.
It's not a great option, though. You might have to throw Kadire in there.
I'd come back with give me Kadire and Blanks.
How about Kadire and McClouth?
I wouldn't do it
would
for
you give
that.
Give up Cain for Kadire and McClouth?
No, actually, if I'm the Cain owner, I wouldn't do any of these players in a deal for Cain.
Yeah.
Al?
Yeah.
I'd need, like, Josh Hamilton.
All right, here we go. Two more. The Vegan Pagan in Danville.
Yeah.
Tell Nando my monitor sends out a big hello. This guy's the biggest computer monitor you've ever seen.
He's won the Metallica hat, and he took a picture of himself next to the monitor. It's seriously, it's like a 54-inch computer monitor. It's amazing.
Hello, Judy, Elroy, and George. I know you prefer... Anyone?
Jetsons?
Yeah. I know you prefer shallow mixed league questions, but I need to make room for Chase Utley in my 12-team NL Keeper League. Which of these meh middle infielders should I jettison? Or Jetson. Cool. Let's see. Dietrich for $10, Cozart for $10, Forsyth for $1, Juan Francisco for $1.
Al Jetson Francisco.
Was he in the mix? He's not a middle infielder, is he?
Well, he included.
No, all right. I would do. But
good point.
I guess I might actually let Forsyth go.
Okay, if we're.
But I'm cool with Francisco.
If we're sticking with the actual middle infielders, it's Dietrich for me.
All right, we're going over 45 minutes, but let's make this one quick. This is Drew with one of his epic emails. Let's play a game of, Dear Clark, Johnson, and Bender. Oh, that's got to be Breakfast Club, right?
I don't know. I was thinking Futurama. That's the only thing I know Bender from Bender's outside of that.
Because Clark and Johnson are not Futurama characters. All right. Which of these players is not like the others? Felix Hernandez, Justin Verlander, Clayton Kershaw, and Corey Kluber.
Well, I'm thinking Corey Kluber.
The answer, of course, is Corey Kluber because he's the only one of those pitchers with 40 or more strikeouts and a whip of one or lower over the last month. Here's the complete list of pitchers who do have 40-plus strikeouts and a whip of one or less over the last month. Darvish, Cliff Lee, Teran, Minor, Scherzer, and Kluber. And here's the preseason outlook on Kluber from CBS.
That was mine.
Corey Kluber made 12 starts for the Indians in 2012, going 2-5 with a 5.14 ERA and a 1.49 whip. The 26-year-old struck out 54 batters in 63 innings. His minor league stats don't offer much more in the way of hope. It looks like Kluber will have no fantasy value.
That's what it looked like.
Is his ownership 43%?
That was me. I had Cleveland.
Is his ownership 43% still too low?
No, I think it's.
I think it is a little too low. I think it should be about 55.
I still am searching for answers with Corey Kluber. I'd stand by my outlook.
All righty.
So we'll put our heads together. Nando will have a big research session on Corey Kluber and Mike Leake, and we'll figure this out.
Let's do it today.
Goodbye.
One Thank
you
Adam.
For a very nice podcast. We will talk to you all tomorrow.